Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. What is it that a believer needs to understand in order to have freedom? In other words, it's very possible for me to love God, for me to be a sincere believer, for me to even have results in prayer, to have a life with Him where He even speaks to me. But I don't have freedom. And so what is it that is necessary for a believer to have freedom? Because without this one thing, it will never be quite a free experience for the believer. And the answer to that question is in 1 John chapter 4. So if you have your Bibles, please turn there. In verse 10, the Word of God says, "Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." The reason why many believers are not people who are really free, they always feel a little bit of a burden in their life, is exactly because of this. They do not understand that they don't love God, God loves them. And the only reason why anyone loves God is because He loved them first. And because He loved them first, He did something about it. You see, so many believers are trying to work for God without actually serving God. Pastor Stevens talked about this on Grace Hour today. People try to work for God, but they're not serving God. The difference in working for God versus serving Him is love. And this is what happened to the Ephesians. They worked for God. God knew their works. But they had left their first love. And so the works that they had, although they were good works, they were not the works of the Holy Spirit. They were works of religious definition unto a religious production that was an outwardly good and godly thing, but lacking the heart of God. And so, if I'm lacking the heart of God, although I may be very busy, I'll be working for Him, but I will not be serving Him. You see, when I realize that God loves me, and He'll do things for me just because He loves me, and for no other reason, then I become extremely liberated. Then I become extremely liberated and extremely free as a believer. This is vital to every believer's life, that they learn that God loves them and that He will do things just because He loves them. You see, because God loves you, He sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. He did this while we were yet His enemies. We were sinners, we were enemies to God, and we were dead in our trespasses and sins. But because He loved you, He did something for you. And you didn't love Him back. And you didn't need to love Him back, because that is the character of agape. So God loved you, and so He did something for you. What did He do? He sent His Son to take it on Himself, to take the judgment, to take the punishment, to satisfy the righteousness of God on your behalf without your involvement. And it was strictly because He loved you. And so in 1 John 11, the Word of God says, if we have this love, then we also ought to love one another. And this is why Jesus said that no greater love has any man than to lay down his life. You lay down your life for people if you love them. If you don't love them, then you can become whatever. Very self-righteous, very self-oriented, very religious, whatever you want to call it. You can become those things, but those things will keep you appeased without actually laying down your life. You see, there's tremendous freedom in this though. Because when I know that God loves me and He'll do things for me for no other reason than that He loves me, it becomes very easy to lay down my life. it becomes very easy to be kind to the unkind or the unlovely or those who don't treat you well. And really, because it becomes your frame of reference, you don't have any other options. You wouldn't consider another option. Because you love that person with the love of God, not because of what you produced, but because of what God had produced in your heart. That's what it's saying right here. And so, we love Him because He first loved us, and it's not about the fact that we loved Him, it's about the fact that He first loved us. And He gave His Son for us. Now, in Jeremiah 31:3, the Word of God says, "The Lord appeared to me of old, saying, I loved you with an everlasting love, and with loving kindness I've drawn you." Because God loves you, He's going to draw you. Now, He doesn't ask your opinion about being drawn, and He's not going to be prevented from drawing you because you did something wrong, or because you were in the flesh that day, or because you are a mess and a train wreck and you know it even though nobody else seems to know it or you think they don't. Hey, I got news for you. We are all a basket case. The sooner that you realize this, the much happier you will be in your life. Pastor Vieira used to stand when I was in Bible college on the back, like the pulpits had shelves. He'd stand on one of the shelves of the pulpit screaming over the top and say, "You are a basket case!" And it's very liberating to be a basket case. Why? Because then I don't have to hold anything up. I'm just a basket case and God loves this basket case. I may be a train wreck, but I'm God's train wreck. I may be a basket case, but I'm God's basket case, and I'm the basket case that God happens to love. He doesn't need to explain why, He just does. That's who He is. That's how it works. The sooner I realize that God will act on my behalf just because He loves me, the freer I will be. Again, it continues in verse 4 in Jeremiah 31. "Again, I will build thee." Now, Israel was a total basket case. They had gone after false gods. They were in idolatry. And God says, because I love you, I'm going to draw you. And because I love you, I'm going to build you. "And thou shalt be built, O virgin Israel. Thou shalt again be adorned with thy tabrets." In other words, because I love you, God says, I'm going to build you and I'm going to build you again. And every time you fall on your face, I'm going to build you again. Every time you fail, I'm going to build you again. Every time you make a mess of it, I'm going to fix it and I'm going to build you again. Every time that you're not faithful to me, I'm going to be faithful to you. Every time that you screw everything up in your life, that's all right. I'm going to put it back together for you. Why? Because He loves you. And that's the only reason. That's His only motive. And I'm not going to ask you for anything in return, He said, because you can't give me anything anyway. The only thing I can give to God is my heart, and the reason why He wants my heart is so that He can give to me. You see, if I don't give Him my heart, I don't really receive. So God says, give me your heart and I will do everything for you. Why? Because I love you. Not because you deserved it. How could you? You're a fallen man. But because I love you. "Again, I will build thee, and thou shalt be built, O virgin Israel. Thou shalt again be adorned with thy tabrets, and shall go forth in the dances of them that make merry." In other words, you became miserable because of your condition, but I'm going to build you again, and I'm going to lift you out of that misery because I love you, and no other reason. Because God loves you, He's going to bring things into your life to bring happiness into your life. Now, we're not about emotions, but don't think God ignores them either. He will do things specifically to make you happy as a believer. He will do things specifically for you to know how incredibly loved you are by Him. He's going to make sure that He keeps bringing it in your face and bringing it in your face, and every time I turn away from it, He's going to bring it in my face again. Every time I'm going to say I'm not worthy, every time I'm going to say I don't want it, He's going to bring it in your face again. Why? Because He loves you. You see, love cannot help but to pursue in the right measure. Or it isn't love. Love never fails. That also means love never quits. Or it isn't love. So God will never quit on you because He loves you. Do you get that? He will never quit on you because He loves you. You may make a total mess. You may walk out of His plan. You may make every mistake there is possible to make. But He will not quit because He loves you. And He'll take all the little pieces that you've shattered everywhere and He's going to put them back together and He's going to build you again, O Virgin Israel. He's done it before. He'll do it again. And He'll do it again. And He'll do it again. And He'll do it again. Thou shalt yet plant vines on the mountains of Samaria. And the planter shall plant and shall eat them as common things. What's He talking about? Once again, you're going to be fruitful. You're not fruitful right now, Israel, but because I love you, I'm going to draw you, I'm going to build you again, and I'm going to make you fruitful. I'm going to use your life. You might have made it into a train wreck, but I'm going to use your life. I'm going to take all the little train cars and the derailed tracks and the busted up whatever, and I'm going to put it all back together, and I'm going to use your life. You might have ran, and you can run to the outermost parts of the earth, but God's going to find you there. Where shall I hide from your spirit, says the psalmist? And though you may be the sheep that strays, God's going to leave the other 99, and He's going to go right for you. Why? Because He loves you. He simply loves you. And that's the only reason God needs. He doesn't need you to be the reason. He just loves you. In Isaiah 43:4, Thou hast precious in my sight, Thou hast been honorable, and I have loved Thee. Therefore I will give men for Thee and people for Thy life. What does He say? I'm going to add people to your life to show you how much I love you. I'm going to add people into your life. You know when I'm going to do it? I'm going to do it when you are at your worst, lowest, no good point to show you how much I love you. And those people will come into your life and they're going to minister the love of God to you. They're going to be a pure expression what God's love for you is. Even though you may say no to them, even though you may reject them, even though you may be nasty to them, they won't quit because they know the heart of God, and they know it because they were where you are earlier. You see, they that sin much love much. And they were there, and now you're there, and they knew the love of God and got to know it because He loved them, He did it for them, and now they're able to do it for you because the capacity has been built in there to shed the love of God abroad in their hearts, and it's being shed abroad to you. Why? Because God loves you. And it's all the reason He needs. So God's going to add people to your life because He loves you. He's going to take the person who's on the verge of quitting and He's going to bring someone into their life because He loves them. And that person is going to manifest the expression of God's heart towards them because He loves them. And He's going to draw them and He's going to bring them back and He's going to love them and He's going to love them into complete victory. Why? Because He loves them. You see, God so loved the world that He gave something, and that's all He needed. He loved the world that He gave. He so loves. God gives you because He loves you. That's it. God gives you because He loves you. What does He give you? But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love, He's going to give you mercy because of His great love. He doesn't need you to get it together. He doesn't need you to be right with Him. He doesn't need you to have a great prayer life. He doesn't need you to be a spiritual giant. He's going to give you mercy just because He loves you. And you know what's going to happen when you receive the mercy of God? You'll become that spiritual giant. Isn't it what David said? Thy gentleness has made me great. That's where spiritual giants come from. It's not because they're anything in and of themselves. It's not because they always got it right. It's not because they never made a mistake. Show me one of those and I'll show you Jesus Christ. It's because they receive the mercy of God. Guys, get this. Listen to this carefully. This is definition for your lives. You're going to fail. And God's going to give you mercy when you do. And it's that giving of mercy that's going to make you great. Why is David going to be the prince of the millennium? Because he was a perfect and upright man who never made a single mistake in his entire life like so many religious Pharisees would like him to be? No. Because when he failed, he received mercy. That's why. David knew the mercy of God. Not at the beginning of his life, but he sure did at the end of his life. He knew the mercy of God. That's why it's called the sure mercies of David. He knew the mercy of God. And why did God give him mercy? Because he was such a wonderful believer? Because God loved him. And David was humble enough to receive it. In Galatians 2:20, what is God going to do for me because he loves me? You know what he's going to do? He's going to bring me to the cross. We believers don't always think of it this way. We don't think that God's love is what brings me to the cross, but he brings me to the cross because he loves me. Why? Because that's where I get the life of God. And why did he do it? Because he loved me and gave himself for me. That's the motive of bringing the believer to the cross. Without the cross, it's impossible to receive the love of God. So because God loves you, nothing to do with you, but because God loves you, he'll bring you to the cross. And that's the end of the story. And he doesn't ask if you want to go. He'll just take you there. Like, show me a shepherd who consults with the sheep as to what they want to do that day. He doesn't ask you anything. He doesn't want your opinion. He's just going to take you there because he loves you. And you don't have to understand because he loves you. And you don't have to have sight because he loves you. And it doesn't always have to go perfect for you because he loves you. You see, what did he say? He says, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Why does he do that? Because he loves me. But what else does it say? And this is the same reason as for the cross. That where I am, there you may be also. And then when he brings that cross into my life, for me to live is Christ. He said, but I live, but not I. But Christ lives in me. He brings me to himself by bringing me to the cross. Why does he do it? Because he loves me. He wants me to be where he is, and he had to go through the cross. And in order for me to be where he is, I must go through the cross. And he will take me there. He says, I'm going to take you by the hand, and I'm going to guide you. He says, the steps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. Why? Because he loves you. Not because you get it, but because he loves you. Hey folks, don't worry if you understand or don't understand. You know why? You're human. You don't have the capacity. Don't worry about figuring it out in the call of God. You're human. You don't have the capacity. You don't know the beginning and the end. Right? He knows the end from the beginning. You're human, you don't know anything. I don't know anything. What I do is simply let him take me by the hand and guide me. What I do is let him order my steps. I simply acknowledge him and he directs my path. Why? Because he loves me and he will always direct me to the path of the cross. Because that's where he is. He'll bring himself to me because he loves me. In Ephesians 5:2, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and given himself for an offering and a sacrifice for God for a sweet smelling savor. And he did that for me. Why? So that I would be a sweet smelling savor. Right? In my flesh, I'm a nasty little aroma. It's called stink. But in Christ at the cross, I produce a sweet smelling savor that's life unto those who are perishing, and death unto those who are living. No, he loves you, and that's why he does things for you. And 2 Thessalonians 2:16. Now, Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which had loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. You want hope? You have hope because he loves you. He is your hope. In other words, the fact that God will be faithful to you, the fact that God will take care of you, the fact that He will never leave you nor forsake you, the fact that faithful is He who called you who will also do it, the fact that He is the author and finisher of your faith because He loves you and nothing to do with you. Do you get that? He gives to you just because He loves you. That's it. He doesn't need another reason. He'll give you hope. He'll give you comfort because He loves you. You go through a trial and God will comfort you every time because He loves you. That's why the Holy Spirit is called the Comforter. Because He loves you. In Deuteronomy 23:25, the Lord will turn your curses into blessings. Hey, every one of us has something that's gone wrong in our life. He'll turn the curses into blessings. Why? Because, it continues, He loves you. That's it. You know what He didn't say? He didn't say because you got it together. He does it because He loves you. Do you get it? Hey guys, the only reason God needs, the only reason God needs is because He loves you. And that's the only reason there is because He loves you. In Deuteronomy 33:27, the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are His everlasting arms. And He shall thrust out the enemy from before you, and He shall say, destroy the enemy. Why? Because He loves you. It's because He loves you. Do you get it? He said in Joel 2:25, I will restore to you the years that the locust had eaten, and the cankerworm, and the caterpillar, and the palmer worm. My great army which I sent among you. Why? Why does God restore? Something goes wrong, you backslide, something happens to you. Why does God restore? Because He loves you. That is it. That's all the reason He has. That's all the reason He needs. That's all the reason He wants. That's all the reason there is. It's because He loves you. He will not let a believer go judged. If someone judges a believer, God will take that person on. And they'll pay for it, starting with their emotions. And He says it in 4:14 of Romans. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he stands or falls, and he will be holden up, he will make him stand. God tells you that no matter what, no one can judge you, He will make you stand. It's a good thing because we all fall. The only one who never fell was the Savior. We all fall. And He's going to make you stand. I feel sorry. I truly pity those people who think that they can judge another believer because they think they have not made the same mistake. You know what happens to a believer like that? In Romans chapter 2, God will make sure they make the same mistake. Why? Because then they'll have no option but to let God love them. He does it because He loves you. He's the author and finisher of your faith in Hebrews 12:2 because He loves you. Like you believe God for something, it'll come to pass because He loves you. Why does He speak to you? He said, my sheep will hear my voice. Why does He speak to you? Because He loves you. You know what's interesting to me? People who don't know how to hear from God don't believe that He speaks. They don't believe that He'll speak to somebody because they don't know how to hear from Him themselves. And so when somebody says, God has impressed this on my heart, they're very suspect of it because they don't know how to hear. I got news for you. My sheep will hear my voice. Isn't that what the Savior said in John chapter 10? My sheep will hear my voice. Why? Because they're His sheep and He loves them. He loves them. This is why He won't lose you. This is why He'll be faithful to you. This is why He'll never forsake you. This is why He'll never let go of your hand. This is why He'll never drop you. This is why the only place you can fall is into the palms of God's hands. Because He loves you. Only reason. So the believer who doesn't live in the love of God, you know what God's going to do? God's going to arrange it so that they will be convinced to live in the love of God. The start is coming very strongly. Be careful if you perceive a failure. It may not be, but if you do perceive a failure, how you deal with it in another believer. Why? Because God loves that person. And if I dare to touch them, God takes everything they did, imputes it to me, and makes sure I have the same failure. Isn't that what He does? It sure is. It sure is. The person who would judge someone for a mistake will make the same mistake very quickly. Because they don't know the love of God there. And He'll make sure that He loves them. Hey folks, are you hoping for something from God? He loves you. And that's all the reason He needs to give to you. Amen? Yeah.